psalm for every season of the soul. And today we come to the 8th division of the Psalms with a burning desire to just give Him praise and adoration. Perhaps there is no story in the Old Testament quite as familiar as the story of David and Goliath. We come to the Valley of Elah with two mountainsides, with the Philistines, their army on one, and the Israeli army on the other. Every morning, the Philistines sent down from their army a giant named Goliath, who mocked, ridiculed, and challenged all of the Israelites. Is there any man among you big enough and brave enough that he might come down and fight with me? If he wins, we'll lay down our weapons and serve you. If I win, he said, then you, all of the Israelite army, will be slaves to the Philistines. When the little shepherd boy, David, arrived on the scene, he was confused, conflicted, and concerned as to why no one was fighting the battle. No one was taking up the challenge. No one was standing against Goliath the giant. Israel reasoned that the giant was too big to fight. David reasoned that he was too big to miss. And so he took up his slingshot, took his stand, and let go of one sovereignly ordained stone that struck the giant between the eyes, brought him to the ground, and ultimately brought the Philistines to defeat. Because of the victory in the Valley of Elah that day, David's fame grew. And one day he was appointed as one to play the harp before King Saul in the palace, because Saul often had fits of rage and anger. He was nervous and full of worry, and it seemed that little David and his harp playing calmed this concerned king. It was on one such occasion, when David prepared to play the harp, that he wrote the 8th division of the Psalms. You will notice a word perhaps at the beginning of the 9th psalm, Muthlebin. It's a Hebrew word that most scholars believe belongs as a footnote to the 8th psalm and not as a headline to the 9th. It simply means the death of a champion. Muthlebin, the death of a champion. It is this 8th division of the Psalms where David raises his voice in praise to Almighty God, who has conquered the enemy and caused the champion to die. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens, and out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to steal the enemy and the avenger. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You've given him dominion over the works of your hands because you've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and all the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven and the fish of the sea and whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. As David begins to write this psalm and to sing this song unto Saul, he records for us a timeless passage filled with praise, a passage pregnant with enthusiasm and excitement and joy of God and Almighty God's victory over anything and anybody, because He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He begins by noting the Lord's position. O Lord, our Lord, majestic is Your name in all of the earth. Today, 500 million people bow down 6 times daily to Allah and give Him praise and adoration. Today, 250 million people will bow down to Buddha and praise His name. And then there are the Hindus, and who knows how many atheists who have not yet come to understand who is the real King and who is the only Lord and who is God Almighty Divine. But we know, and David knew, when all the other idols and gods have been praised, when all of that has been laid by the wayside, when the dust has settled and only one name stands above all names, I want to declare to you this morning, it will be the name of Jesus, the name that is revered in heaven and reverenced on earth. It will be the name of Jesus. When David stood before Goliath, David said to him, "You come before me with your sword and your spear and your shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, Jehovah Almighty." And Isaiah said, "His name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God and Prince of Peace. He will be an everlasting Father to the fatherless." And we come to the New Testament and we wonder if the passion has died and if the praise has gone away, but we hear the disciples say, "There is but one name under heaven on earth whereby you must be saved." And if we wonder this morning, now that the age of the apostles is gone, is anybody still praising Jesus? All we have to do is tune into glory and hear them say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He's wonderful and worthy adoration and praise and majesty and might and dominion and power both now and forever." And the angels give Him praise. And maybe, just maybe, somewhere down here, some group of people will meet together and place every distraction to the side and look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and cry from the depths of our hearts, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all this earth." That's His position. And then David brings us to discuss His power in verses 2 and 3. His creative power in verse 3. He said, "When I look at the heavens, the works of Your fingers, the moon, the stars that You've set in place, what's man that You're mindful of him?" Now, if anybody ever had the time to look at the stars, the sun and the moon, it was shepherd boy David. Many the night he spent all by himself watching his father's sheep. And as he lay and looked up at the sky, he could not help but discover the constellations, ponder the universe, see the stars, watch the sun rise and the sunset, see the clouds gather from time to time as the rain would fall, and watch the grass as it would grow. And he said, "This cannot be an accident. This must be from the finger of the sovereign God of glory. And all that there is and all that there was and all that there ever shall be is God and God's alone, for He is Creator God. But he's not only creator God. David even understood a principle before its time. He said he is conquering God. Out of the mouth of babes come the victory that my God wins. You know, when a king wants to attack a nation, he assembles a billion soldiers if he can. He brings together a battalion of those who can fight for him. But not our God. Our God put a baby in a basket and had him float to the bulrushes. And Pharaoh's daughter discovered him and raised him in the palace so that he could stand singularly and solitarily one day and say, "Let my people go." God does not need an army. God uses a baby to deliver the nation of Israel from Egypt and write their downfall and write the uprising of a nation that would come to be the nation that would bless all the earth. But don't stop with that baby, because once in Bethlehem, a baby came and he didn't need an army then. The baby was raised among us and the baby died on the cross for us. And the baby went to the grave and the baby came forth from the grave alive forevermore and King of Kings as he sits on the throne. God doesn't need an army. God is an army. God does not need a battalion. God is master and Lord over all, and he chooses a baby to deliver Israel, and he chooses a baby to deliver you and you and you and you, as Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came as creator who created and counted and called the stars by name. He came as a conqueror who used a baby to deliver us all. But David calls our attention then to the presence of the Lord. What is man that you are mindful of him? The Old Testament Hebrew, there are at least four words for the word man. This is the word for mortal man, sinful man, fleshly man, the lowest of all four of the words in describing man. What he's saying in essence is he didn't come for man in his superiority. He came for man in his weakness. He didn't come for man because man was worthy. He came for man when man was unworthy. He came unto his own. He came to us. He came to us, that he would come to us, David says, is more than my heart could bear. What he's saying is, I've seen the stars, I've seen the moon, I've seen the sun, but here is a God who loves people more than he loves planets. He loves souls more than he loves stars. He loves us more than he does the universe. Here is a God who's interested in and intent upon saving the least among us. What is man that he is mindful of him, that a God like that would come to us? Oh, but then he says, a God like that would care for us. What is man that God is mindful of him, understands him, knows him, helps him in every way? He's given him dominion over the works of his hands, and he's put all things under his feet. There came a time about the middle of World War II when a teenage girl named Elizabeth went to her father and said, "I want so desperately to join the British Royal Forces and fight for my nation." She finally convinced him and therefore became Private Windsor in the British Royal Army. She had a sergeant that was in charge of her, one of a very few women in the British Royal Army. He bossed her. He decried her. He criticized her. He made a spectacle of her, for she was one woman amongst so many men in the British Royal Army. But 1952 came, and a phone call was dispatched to her, and it simply said, "Your father has died." And Private Windsor became Elizabeth II, the Royal Queen of England, who still reigns today. And that sergeant never once criticized her again, never once ridiculed her again. She had been lifted from a private to a majesty as the ruling Queen of England. My God came down to be rejected. He came down to be criticized. He came down to be crucified. he came down to be spit upon and his beard to be plucked and a crown of thorns to be thrust upon his brow. But one day the call came. It just happened to be Easter Sunday morning. And it said, "Son, your work is finished. I want you to rise up and come back home." And the stone was rolled away and the Son of God came forth. 10 days later, he had met with all of his disciples and he ascended back to the Father, where he sat down on the throne as the royal one, as the majestic one, as the master, as the king, as the Lord over all. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of this earth. And we give him applause and praise this morning, because he who once was a private that he might serve us is now a king that he might rule over us. He's Lord over all. But don't think of that alone. That's where you are this morning, and that's where I am. But one day the call's going to come, and our Father's going to say, "Enough of the battle of this life. Rise up, my soldier. Rise up, my son, and rule and reign with me forever and forever." And David said, "Oh, he is a God that would come to us, and he's a God that would come for us, because he loves people, he loves souls, he loves us." And should somebody be left in this service today, should somebody be left in the world around us that thinks our God is not worthy of being praised and adored, he closes by saying, "Here is the Lord's portion," the bookend of the psalm. The first verse is, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And the last verse is the same. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And this psalm is tucked in between these two bookends to let us know he's the Alpha and he's the Mega. He's the beginning and he's the end. And brother, he's all in between. And the psalmist comes and says, "I'll tell you why he's great, because when you see the sun rise, he's the reason. When you see the sun set, he's the cause. When the clouds form and the rain comes, he sends it on the just and the unjust. When the grass grows, when the sun shines, when the birds tweet, whatever happens that happens in God's world, he is the source of every good and perfect thing. What a great God we serve. If you don't believe he's worth praising, just look around and then look up and then know that every good and perfect gift comes from him." But he also said, and I say in closing, that it's not just about his greatness to create. If you really want to know why I think he's worthy of praise this morning, it's because of his grace. Not just his greatness, but his grace. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. He set my feet on a solid rock. He established my going. And he put a new song of praise in my heart. I was a sinner bound for hell. And in spite of that, he washed me with his precious blood and sealed me with his Holy Spirit and wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and went back to prepare a place for me, that he'll come again and receive me unto himself, that where he is, I'll be there forever. So let the rocks keep silent if they do. Let the wind not call his name when it blows. Let the sun not represent him or the moon shine light. We shall know of his greatness, not so much because of what's around us, but because of what's within us. We are saved, saved, saved by the grace of God. And we join the angelic forces this morning with the great anticipation of being there, free from the shackles and bondage of sin, one of these days to surround the throne and rise to our feet and say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And all God's people said, hallelujah. Let's stand together. Yes, there's a psalm for every season of the soul. And there are midnight hours when our heart breaks and we open the Bible and read, and God speaks to us in His might and majesty. And then there are days when we look around us and know what good thing has come our way because He's a good, good Father. And we just praise Him with all of our might. And so might this be that kind of day. May praise be birthed in your heart before you leave this service today. May you adore Him who is worthy of adoration. May you worship Him who's worthy of praise and reverence. May you shout the victory over whatever giant He's given defeat to in your life. May you look back and say, He brought me up. May you look around and say, my feet's on a solid rock. May you look up and say, He has established my goings. Somebody lost knows nothing of praise. You need pardon. You need forgiveness. You need Christ as your personal Savior. And this morning, we'll tell you about Him and share with you how you can trust Him as Savior if you will but come. And maybe you need to become a part of our church family. God has spoken to your heart. And in this place of worship, you want to belong and become a part. You can come forward and our pastors will help you. And maybe somebody here, you came in discouraged. You came in defeated. You came in down and trodden, worn out and weary. But suddenly, for you, the clouds have parted. And the S-O-N, Son of God, has begun to shine in your heart and mind. And maybe you today just want to praise Him. In ever how you're comfortable, you do that. But know this, He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of your praise. So while we sing together and the pastors come, you do what God talks to your heart about doing. And that'll bless His holy name. And that'll be a blessing to all of His people.
The splendor of the King. Glory.